Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. A lot going on in the markets these days, isn't it? Well, guess what? There's always a lot going on in the market. The only thing that is the same is it's different again. And so we always got to keep an eye on this. And I always am looking for experts in the field of whatever subject we had going on. And we've got a great one for you today. David Gerwitz is Managing Director of Charles Nenner Research. Website for today's program is charlesnenner.com. And that's Charles Nenner Research Center. David serves as the Managing Director. He's responsible for working directly with clients to assess the markets and working hand-in-hand with Charles, and it's well known in the industry that Charles doesn't shy away from taking leadership positions, even if it's contrary to conventional wisdom in the market. So we're going to be taking a look at this with David. David has a unique combination. Well, I shouldn't say unique, David, but uncommon. He's got his law degree, an MBA, and a CPA, loaded for bear, wherever that bear may come. And we're very excited to have him on. David, welcome to the program.
Pleasure to be on, and you're in Florida, and I'm not, and who's the crazy one here?
Well, I tell you what, it sounds to me you have a lot of... You've got a lot of work to keep you warm right now.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate you taking time, and I know you're up to your eyeballs in a lot of things that you're working on, and there's just so much to talk about, and I have to start with one of my favorite subjects, not because I'm a big investor in it, but I find it mostly, I will confess, I find it a lot of it to be amusing, and it's all of the talk about gold. And the reason why I'm amused is, you know, I'm sure you see all the time the television shows or commercials that are, you know, the world ends tomorrow, buy gold today. But there's a whole other side to that, which is gold is an asset class or can be part of an investment portfolio. And I know that you're watching closely the signals for when to buy, when to sell. So tell me what's going on with gold and what you guys see and where are the price points and what should we be looking at gold, looking beyond gold as an Armageddon play, but more of as an investment play.
Okay, well, that was a beautiful question.
Thank
you. Let me answer in a framed way.
All right.
Like Dwayne Wade bringing the ball up. Okay?
All right, I'm ready.
You're Florida, so I'm a bit of a basketball person myself. I was trained by Red Auerbach. I'll be 60 this year, so I had season tickets when Larry Bird was a rookie.
Cool.
And I used to work at a hotel. Red Auerbach used to come visit his daughter there, so I spent a lot of time basketball training. And I kind of look at the world that way. Everything's kind of a game back and forth. Trading is not that different. You hope to be able to find patterns to it. So when I met Charles about 12, 13 years ago, he was at Goldman Sachs, one of the top technical analysts at that place. And we were able since then to build a business. I guess people consider us the biggest cycle firm in the world. We have clients all over the world. We don't manage money. So we're brutally honest. I don't care how much money somebody has. When gold was topping 3 years ago, it was topping for him too. And we said it.
Good point.
3 years ago, 1900, after 11 years up, gold, get out. Now, let me ask you, what percent listened to us? Not as high as they wished.
Right.
Because after 11 years of it being up, it's hard to get out. After crude, 2 months ago, we gave a sell signal 97. It's down now. Unless you're a trader, very hard to think it's going to bounce.
Right.
It's the same thing with gold. 3 years down, people think it's never going to go back up again. When things are heading up, people think it's never going to stop. When it's heading down, they think it's never going to stop.
They call that the recency effect, don't they?
Yes. And we look at top to tops. Our system, the cycle system, which is answering your gold question as well as everything else, is based on the idea cycles come from the Greek word circle. Top to tops in any data series, take IBM, whose top we called 2 months ago. Let's say there was a top every 5 weeks. But it has to be every 5 weeks, not 5 weeks except 15 weeks ago. It has to be consistent. But every 9 weeks, every 14. Different prices, obviously, but nonetheless, there was an equidistant top. It looks like a sine curve on an EKG. And then you put all of them together. There was the 5 week cycle, the 9 week cycle, the 14. And they're all topping today. To us, that's a top in that particular data series. We don't care what the news is, we don't care what it is. Stocks, bonds, commodities, currencies, economic indicators. That's what Charles came up with when he was in medical school, when the professor said people get admitted to insane asylums all around the world at the same time. and he couldn't believe it. And so he started looking at the patterns, and that's how he came up with it. The key for us, and I want to answer your question about levels, because I'll read you our report on gold. We write a report 3 times a week. All your listeners should write in, get a free month. Go to charlesnenner.com, say they heard David speaking on the phone. Buy signal, gold continues, as long as there's no close below 1206.
Okay.
We need a close above 1230 to see more upside. Short-term cycles are up. Silver, buy signal continues, as long as there's no close below 1620. A close above 1710 is needed for more upside. Short-term cycles are up here as well. We called the top in silver at 49 and gold at 1900 3 years ago, and it's been a difficult 3 years for people who are in.
Sure.
So that's kind of the framing of the whole conversation, how we do things.
Well, the market's listening to you, David. I was looking at while we were talking, the gold back above 12, well, it looks like around 1213. At the time of our show here. I think I like the insight here that you're sharing, because what's really interesting to me about it is that when you look at how, you know, you mentioned the 11-year run for gold, when you're in that, there's so much reinforcement in the psychological reinforcement for the investor that they go, well, of course it's going to keep going up. You know, the thing that I always remember, you know, and I'm an old school financial planner, David, so bear with me, but you know, when I cut my teeth doing financial planning, the software would ask you for doing your projections and all that, what rate of return would you like to assume for real estate for your house? What rate of return? You want to use 3? You want to use 5? It would give you these things. It didn't ask you, what would you like to use, a -3 or a -5 or a -10%? There's this bias built in that everything's going to go up, and in real estate always goes up. And of course, we found out very much the hard way that that's not the case.
Right. Well, let me ask you, when you say old school financial planning,
yeah.
Tell me what that means, because I had a thought as you were saying it.
What I mean by that is I sit down and I do a lot of looking at what the client, let's start with where we are, what you're doing, what are you trying to accomplish, and then we start looking for ways to build a plan that's going to bring in different elements of, you know, different investment vehicles, different strategies, different things. And so we might have a part of that overall plan that would focus on investing with some of the things that you look at. But, you know, so it's a looking at their overall situation and then figuring out within the context of what they can handle,
right?
You know, figuring out what makes sense for them.
Let me give you one view. Let's go to 1981. You and I are sitting.
Okay.
All right. 30 some odd years ago. The Dow was 1,000 and rates were 18%. And we did 2 trades. We bought the Dow and said, we're going to talk on January 8th, 2015, right?
Okay.
And we bought bonds.
Yeah.
Great trades, right?
Yeah.
18%.
Yeah.
If rates have gone to 2, the $1 million, hey, I found $2 million in the street. I walk in, I go, I'm going to put $1 million here, $1 million there.
Yeah.
2 great trades.
Oh, yeah.
Both stocks and bonds went up for 32 years. Let's do that same trade in 87. Let's do the same trade in 94. Let's do the same trade in 2001.
Okay.
The stock part didn't do so good.
Yeah.
Right? The bonds kept going. The bonds have actually been a great trade. I find people don't think about, unless they're traders, they don't think about bonds as a trade because it's an income thing.
Exactly.
Whereas stocks have been up. We've been up 18 times, right? The Dow was 1,000.
Right.
And for the 16 years prior to that, I don't know how old you are, but I'll be 60. So the 16 years prior to that, the Dow was 1,000. So for 16 years, hard to imagine, gold was up for 11 and down for 3.
Right.
The Dow in 1966 was 1,000. 1982 was 1,000. I don't know how many of your listeners know that.
It's
remarkable.
I don't
know if you did. I don't know what I'm saying. So we look at this stuff. We look at grains. Going back 1,000 years, grains, people should think about not just buying a box of Wheaties, but planting JJG and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Machine, water, long term, there's water stocks. Gold, we think, is going to go back up to its highs. It's just not happening next week.
Right.
Okay, crude, we called it at 147. People can go to the site. Charles said there'd be deflation, and it went down. They laughed at CNBC. 6 months later, crude was 49.
Mm.
Same thing just happened two months ago. Crude has had that same 50% down. And
this is all part of the cycles that you've spoken about.
So what we're saying is, whatever the news is, you could always say, well, the government's trying to knock crude down to beat up Mr. Putin. which is what everybody thinks.
Right, right.
Really want, you know.
Right.
I don't think they have that much control.
No, they don't.
I think it is based on repeating patterns, not based on the news. And those, like, I don't know how often your clients trade. Most of them are not professional traders. You know what I'm saying? And we have, most of our clients are not professional traders.
Right.
They're longer term, but it's very hard to feel secure longer term in this crazy world.
Well, I think that we're probably talking the same thing, David. You know, you two should take long-term view, but you don't ignore it. You have to have, you do long-term strategic allocations with tactical or shorter-term repositioning as appropriate. And the set it and forget it, I have a hard time accepting that as a way of being realistic about investing because of the world we live in.
Right. Also, we happen to think, let me give you the big picture and everything, but again, I stress to your listeners, write to the site, watch the research, and then, you know, a lot of them become clients because they find it quite helpful. It's more short-term focused, but we smuggle in the longer term. When Charles wrote this at Goldman, they asked him to stay more short-term focused, technical, but he smuggles in the long term. You know, because as we say, we smuggle it in. And on Sunday, we show the whole world. Within a month, someone will see the entire world. I'll just read you, before I tell you about this, what we cover charts every Sunday, and last Sunday, what we do, let me just take a look, I think I can remember, Apple, right? We called Apple top 3 years ago. Spain is down in Q1. The VIX, which is something your people should learn, the volatility index.
Sure.
Great way to hedge long portfolios. Is something Verizon we called the bottom. There's a FXI's China, Toyota, Walmart, Toll Brothers, Topics, Stocks Europe, Schlumberger, Soybeans, another bounce, GPB, that we do currencies, and the Swiss. I think your people can, they have to not be afraid to think about, in my opinion, not to be afraid to look at things from a cycle target perspective the way we do it, because then they can at least get a sense, there's a bigger picture, and what if a major top this year in stocks for years, which is kind of what we think.
Yeah.
Are you going to say be 50% in stocks? Well, for the last 6 years, that was a great call. Will it be for the next six? We don't think so.
Yeah.
Big picture. Bonds is probably a good investment vehicle because rates are still going to go lower until they go higher, but longer term, bonds are up, bond rates are up the next 20-some-odd years because they've been down the last 30. And there's a long-term cycle in rates. You know, 1950, rates were 2%. In 2014, rates are 2%.
How about that?
So that's a 60-plus-year cycle. Hmm. Who thinks about that? I have a client, 80-something. He remembers when rates...
Sure.
You know, the government was selling bonds then at 2%, savings bonds. So these things come around again. It's just who thinks about it.
David Gerwitz thinks about it, Managing Director of Charles Nenner Research, charlesnenner.com. That's Charles and N-E-N-N-E-R.com. When we come back with David, I want to talk a little bit more about crude, and we'll get into some other interesting topics. Stay right there.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals and couples plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his clients' shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. To learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back. David Gerwitz on the line, Managing Director of Charles Nenner Research. And David mentioned the website earlier. There's free reports and other good information. Of course, mentioned you listen to David on the radio. There's newsletters and lots of resources there to get that, you know, greater perspective, which I think is outstanding. I want to ask you, David, because I think it's very helpful for the listeners. We've talked about where the markets have been and look a little bit historically, look at these cycles. And we've got, basically a six-year bull market we've been in. And do we look ahead to the S&P 500 or we can look at other parts of the market? But what are your expectations? What is your view based on some of this historical and cyclical nature?
Well, that's a great question. The overall market's going to be down. There's not going to be too many safe places.
Okay.
But we're not that smart to easily pick what's going to be.
Yeah.
And there will be some stocks, obviously. Grain stocks should go up. We think the oil stocks now.
Okay.
will begin a good move up. Longer term, we think crude is not staying at 50. We think it's going to go way back again, and same with gold and silver. People just have to maybe be strategic, and I don't know how many people, like I say, are investors or traders. They kind of make their money and hope there could be some, you know, calmness in their life, and the bonds have been giving 1.5%, 2%. So I know a lot of brokers who are clients tell me that their clients push them to do stuff they wouldn't normally do because they can't get yield.
Yeah.
Having said that, it's better to protect your money and not lose it than worry about how much you have to make. It's more of an American mentality than a European mentality.
Right. Well, would it be so wrong to have a, you know, maybe a your overall strategy could include a little bit of an extra overlay, if you will, on, you know, having a little bit more gold than you might otherwise consider, or have a little bit more of the energy stocks? You know, normally we're very sensitive to not have more than a certain percentage in any one sector because of the things that can happen.
Right.
But to overweight slightly in some of these areas where they have taken such a hit or been pummeled so hard?
Well, let me give you an example. We think gold could go back. 1,400 is a big number.
Okay.
Let's say it gets there and we say get out. It could go back to 800 after that. And then it could go to 25. I'm not saying it will, but this is something that it looks like it's very high possibility in our system because of Elliott Wave also and things. So to stay put in something is a hard thing. Look,
it
we
is.
Advise billions and billions of dollars. Goldman, you know, big, big places and small people. Same works for small too. It's like I said to a rich guy, just because you're rich doesn't mean because you own it, the stock won't go down.
Right, right.
You know, or just as we say, just because you have money doesn't mean you're smart.
Right.
Like we know we're not smart. We just know patterns repeat.
Yeah.
And we're just trying to be on the right side of the pattern. So let's say gold's going to go back down to 800. Is it worth being in it because you convince yourself to say I should have a certain amount in just because I think it's good to diversify? We're not such fans of diversification, just so you know, because we think that's your own mind making an assumption. We rather follow the cycles, and there are times to be completely in or out in a certain area. And it's not easy for people who've never done it.
So no, that would be a big shift for a lot of people.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, because they, you know, the natural, you know, question is, okay, well, what will drive gold to 1,400 and then back down to 800?
I'm going to give you a great answer.
Good.
We have no idea. But since we called the top in gold and nobody else did, maybe our system will tell you better than others. And the answer is, we just think it's repeating patterns. We use targets. We use cycles, we use Elliott Wave, we use points. We just look at repeating patterns. Charles happens to be one of the world's leading pattern recognition experts. He and one other person, you know, do the work. And it's something that's different from the way other people do things. So, you know, that's the answer to the question. We're not smart enough to know why it happened.
Well, what does that translate to over on, no pun intended, on currencies and and the euro and the Australian dollar and
great
some of these
others? Let me talk currencies for a few minutes. Americans know nothing about currency.
Right.
Let me start.
Right, right. That's why I'm, I'm asking.
I'm glad you even mentioned the word, right? I would say half our business is overseas, and Charles is Dutch, so I'm constantly talking currencies like the Swiss. And who thinks about this stuff in Florida? You should, you know. When the euro was 151.5, there was the first Greek crisis, if we all remember, 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
We said get out of the euro. It was 151. Went down to 122, 118, and then we said go in. So we called the first currency crisis. We didn't know that Greece was going to be the place. Still a mess, by the way. But we had no idea. We just saw cycles had topped in the euro. And then the reason shows up afterwards. So I would tell everybody the Aussie we think is, let me see what we wrote, and I'll tell you, but longer term, the Aussie, the Canadian, and, well, I'll read the research on the Aussie. And by the way, your people, it's not a free report, it's a free report for a month, and then afterwards there's different levels of service. Based on cycles, we're looking for a bounce in the Aussie, but to cancel the sell signal, need to close above 82.15. We called the Aussie and the Canadian when they were 60 cents. To the dollar 5 years ago to go to par, and we were right, and they went past par. They're both commodity currencies, so people like to say if crude's up, they'll be up. If crude's down, I mean, that doesn't always work,
right,
but it generally does. So we think if crude keeps in the 50-45 range, you have three trades. You have a Canadian long trade, you have an Aussie long trade, you have a crude long trade. How many people will do that? I'm asking you of your client base, of your listeners. They don't think like that.
Yeah, well, some will, but not everybody thinks that way.
Right, but I'm saying this is how we do based on the math. And it's usually, I don't think that, it's not always right, but it's right three quarters of the time. And so that's how we think people should take some of their money and try it that way. It's better than going to the bank, which
yeah.
is giving you 2%. At least with us, we like to think you'll do much better.
I agree with that thought. I mean, we have to definitely think outside the box. And I want to come back to this, David. I'm going to grab another quick break. David Gorwitz, ladies and gentlemen, Managing Director at Charles Nenner Research, charlesnenner.com. And you can look at that newsletter for free for the first month, as David mentioned. And after that, well, you know, look, they're running a business and there are costs, but if you like it, you can continue. We'll grab that quick break. We'll be right back.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your portfolio prepared for such a correction? How about inflation? What's your plan for when a gallon of gas or gallon of milk costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has answers to questions just like these and practical steps you can take to help mitigate these negative events. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
David Gorwitz, ladies and gentlemen, there he is, Managing Director of Charles Nenner Research, charlesnenner.com. And I want to come back real quick, if you could, David, because you have the luxury of experience with this and staying so focused on it. If we go back a little bit, I think the thing that is easy to forget is some of these, you know, these swings in value on not only on currencies, but on gold and oil and all of that. Correct me or clarify for me, back when the euro was first introduced, it came out at par, right? 1-to-1 for the dollar?
Right.
Okay.
And then it shot up.
And it shot up to, if I remember correctly, I think I had an ill-timed trip to Italy, and it was it was at like $1.90 to buy a euro.
Oh, yeah. Look, the yen is now, it was 3.90 when it started trading in the late 70s.
Wow.
So,
okay.
I mean, these things take years to move and move again, and you know, the Far East is, I mean, that's one of the things I will tell you that we see the dollar topping this. Everyone's been pouring into the dollar for flight safety. We think the dollar tops this year. There's an ETF called DXY, which is something people should look into later in the year. GLD looks good, even though we think it'll dip a little more for gold. I mean, that's what you get from the research. We show you stuff. We're not investment advisors, so we don't tell people what to do. We just show them what we see. And then we always recommend people take some of their liquid and practice. With ETFs, you could do everything nowadays.
Right.
And just try doing it our way as opposed to what the news says.
Well,
I think we're predicting the news by saying where the cycle's top and bottom, and then the news shows up trying to explain why.
Exactly. I think, but the key takeaway for me is that some of these things, you know, this is why, again, it's not set it and forget it, or that things are always different, and you've got given a couple of great examples, David, of your research, and that being, you know, looking at the euro, looking at the dollar. I agree with you. I think that we have had a flight to safety, not only in terms of the dollar itself, but also, of course, with money washing on shore to the U.S. and buying the treasuries, because when we look overseas to Europe, they continue to struggle with, I read a report not long ago that there is an additional consideration or concern about deflation in Europe.
Correct, which we've been calling for a while. There will be inflation down the road, but Charles has been saying deflation for years already. He was right.
And when
another thing, let me give you a NatGas story. How much time do we have?
Oh, we've got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, so let me give you a quick story, NatGas. Right? Not easy to trade. I'm not saying people should do it, but just to give you an idea. NatGas was $12 not that long ago. Went down to $6, bounced a little, and Charles says going to $2. Right? Just a couple years ago.
Yeah. Which at the time was extraordinary.
Which it did. But what happened was at $6, the Canadian banks, many of them made loans to Western Canadian nat gas producers, thinking go back to $12. You know, it went down to $5, went to $4, went to $3. you know, let's say you have a house, the mortgage $300,000, it's now worth $150,000. That's called underwater. Same thing with corporate loans. There were corporate loans that are underwater. So the banks were getting pressure. So they went to the nat gas producers and said, you got to pay us back. How are you going to pay us back? By pumping out, by increasing more nat gas sales. So they did. And then it drove the price down. And the newspaper report said nat gas prices are down because of forced selling brought on by bank pressure.
Hmm.
And we knew it had nothing to do with that. It was cycles had topped, had a head towards going, and then whatever happened, happened. There's a perfect example of cycles saying what it is, and then the news comes along and claims they know the reason why. And it happened. Look, stocks in 2008, we took everyone out of the market in the summer. Look good. Everything had been up 15%. A year for the prior years prior was crazy, end of 2008, and we went long beginning of 2009. Now, we haven't been long the whole time, but we've been long most of it. And we've been up 150% in some markets there, and it's getting near, we got a little more to go, but, so to sit down and know I got to have 40% in stocks the next year, I don't think is a wise decision based on cycle.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of how we view things.
Yeah.
And also the VIX, people should broaden their view. There's an easy way to trade volatility. What percent of your people even knew about it, they don't really know. But it's not hard to do this stuff. It doesn't take long. You know, to learn, you know, currencies, there's FXE for the euro, FXA for the Aussie, some track better than others. It does take a little bit of work, but the old line thinking of 60% stocks, 30% bonds, and whatever, I don't know if that's going to be such a good thing going forward.
Well, as somebody who does provide advice, David, I can tell you that that's probably not a good thing. You know, in that respect, yeah, that's a bit rigid, and it is probably a little bit out of date. But there are a lot of other things like what you guys are doing and the resources you have and also other vehicles that people can look at. And, you know, it has to be tailored to their situation. You know, it's leveraging knowledge. And, of course, that's what you guys are all about is the knowledge of these things. And I was looking at this not long ago. Thomas Jefferson quoted, our third president and founding father quoted, is one of the people that said knowledge is power. But he also then, right in the next sentence, said it's also safety and happiness.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff, David. You guys are doing a great service. I applaud your efforts. And I will redirect our listeners to charlesnenner.com. You can take a look at their research. And David Gerwitz has been our guest, managing director at Charles Nenner Research. David, it's been a pleasure. And you are welcome back anytime.
Thank you very much. You are a great interviewer, and I look forward to the next one.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.